Hand grenades, very important. If you use hand grenades, please use vegan grenades. No animal should have to give their life for all this mayhem and chaos. They have a special sticker on them. You really can't miss them in the...
This is Pure Decking, show number 540 for Thursday, October the 26th, 2023. Sorry if I sound like I'm going a little slow. It's because my screens are wigging the fuck out because I'm switching between two machines that don't seem to like each other on the KVM there. Now I've done it. Anyways, this is the show about stuff that interests me, like information security, rigging the game, and we're BBSing like it's 1985. Tonight, we have a madman. What's up, madman?
Oh, I think the internet hates me, but it makes for having a very easy job when you don't have access to the cloud. Not a productive job, but an easy job.
Does that job consist of, I'm sorry, I can't help you, I don't have internet access right now?
Oh, I didn't even fucking talk to people, because then they would want to know why I'm not helping them. I'm like, I'm just at my desk and podcasts. I meant I am going to be a productive individual and get caught up on shirts and mandatory trainings and everything that I did want to do anyway that I probably couldn't have done because I didn't have internet access.
All right, well, yeah, my internet was flickering a lot this evening, and it was really annoying, but it seems okay now, I hope. And we have an RU. What's up, RU?
Well, I know the internet hates you, madman. It told me itself. Yeah, not much, Morps.
Straight up weak. The will of the internet, as expressed through 4chan, has expressed its disdain for madman.
Well, I keep trying to limit its power, you know, saying you can't have coffee makers and all this other shit. Yeah, I can see it hating me. Like, no, you're limited to only these things, nothing else.
Well, yeah, I can see that. So, I guess we'll dive right into it here. Well, okay, first and foremost, the BBS is up and running, so I know I was talking about it. I wanted an alternative to, you know, Reddit for getting links and stuff and talking to people, and the IRC is a little too real-time, so I decided to go with an old-school BBS for a couple of reasons. One, it'll kind of serve as an idiot filter if you can't figure out how to get into the thing, but two, I didn't really get to do much BBSing back in the day. I mean, a little bit here and there when I was a kid, but I was really on the tail end of it, you know? But by the time I actually got a computer with a modem, yeah, we could dial into a couple of BBSs, but it was really starting to be the whole thing to dial into AOL and then mess with people over AIM. So, you know, it's kind of nostalgia for something I didn't really get to do very much of. If that makes any sense at all?
Kind of.
Kind of like something I always thought I wanted to get into, because that was supposed to be the dark, cool stuff, and you didn't get to do it very much except the handful of times you got to see it. You know, my uncle showed me, you know, dialing into remote systems on a Commodore. God, I couldn't have even been in high school yet. And, yeah, that was like... sitting there just seeing, because, you know, I knew how to use a Commodore 64. I played games on the thing all the time. And then seeing all this other stuff come across it, and it's just like, what is this? And then going home and trying to do the same stuff at home and it not working because, you know, I was eight and didn't know what a modem was. I didn't know you needed that. I just thought it was, you know, I didn't know he was connecting to other computers. I just thought he was showing, you know, he just said, hey, want to see something cool? You know, I didn't know what it was. So, well, I had to start somewhere, I guess. So, but anyway, so we'll see what happens with it. I'll eventually get some door games set up and, of course, the message system. But we're not ever going to hook it into real internet. I'm not ever going to hook it into like any of the larger BBS systems. You'll also notice it's SSH only. I have no intention right now of opening it up to any other protocols because it's on the internet. I don't want to just use Telnet, even though, yeah, you could, but I don't know. Just part of me feels like that's a really bad idea. So, in fact, the welcome email, let me see what I wrote. Let me find it. Because it's I got to get into the actual system editor, I think. Let's see. Yeah, system configuration. So I'll eventually, we'll eventually get in here and make our own menus. And, yes, Alhazard is correct in the IRC. It says it requires cryptlib or the handshake will fail. So, that's why I linked to the, Netrunner, console, because that one kind of works out of the box with it. But, yeah, if you want to try to rig up PuTTY or something, or like a, you know, SSH on Linux, yeah, you're going to have to set up cryptlib, which is kind of a pain in the butt. I had to do that on the server side. So you have to install very specific versions of GCC, compile with those versions of GCC, and then so you don't break your system, switch the defaults back to the modern versions. It's kind of a pain to set it up compared to a lot of other stuff these days. So where was my new user message? There it is. New user, welcome. Okay, here's what I have in the new user welcome. This is what you get in the email when you make an account on the Galaxy 15 Radio BBS. Do not trust this system. Do not use your real name. Do not post anything you wouldn't want public. Do not count on this being here tomorrow. This is an experiment in less public networking. As much as the sysop would have you believe otherwise, he is not infallible, and there may be security issues lurking in the server. Trust nothing. Verify everything. I thought that was fair.
Yeah, it's pretty fair and accurate.
So, yeah, I like having that in there, that little warning of if you're going to use this thing, that's great. Just don't trust it. Don't put anything real in here, because that's the last thing we need is this thing to get popped and somebody say, oh, yeah, you know, I had all this really important stuff in there and it's gone. Yeah, well, sucks to be you. So. Same reason I've never allowed comments on the website. I just don't want to deal with it. And truth be told, I would be really surprised if a spam bot was able to get into the thing and start posting ads. The whole thing with comment sections or forums on websites, it's one of the reasons I never, you know, I've ran forums before. I've ran comment sections before. And keeping the fucking spam bots out, man, I mean, it's a full-time job. So... Actually, in my full-time jobs, they would have some bright spark decided to put contact forms on the website with any bot mitigations, controls, or even just a flippin' CAPTCHA. You know, they never wanted to set one up because that's too hard for our customers. We want to be friendly. And then why are we getting all these ads and junk in our mailboxes?
Because we're friendly.
Because you have that mail form going straight to your department's distribution list with no filtering on it. Well, can you fix something about it? No, because you won't let me. I have it in writing. Here's the email you sent me where you wouldn't let me fix it. It's like, well, can you figure out some other way to fix it?
So no. It sounds like that website was very tolerant.
It was very tolerant.
And therefore ended up an absolute fucking shithole because there was no fucking standards, right?
Sounds about right.
Because having standards makes it a little bit difficult. We're not friendly when we have standards. Let's be tolerant. And it's like the place turned to shit.
You know what's bad? When you said have standards, what the first thing that came to my mind was be professional, be polite, have a plan to kill everyone you meet.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That was Patton, wasn't it?
It's the sniper video from Team Fortress 2.
I think it's General Patton said he's something like that as well.
Oh, he might have, but yeah, that's what comes to my mind. Meet the sniper from Team Fortress 2.
Okay.
Be efficient, be polite, have a plan to kill everyone you meet. Yeah, that's or whatever it was. You want to do this first story?
Yeah.
This one is from the magical land of Oz Stelia. I forgot how you said it in Warhammer. In Warhammer, they have it spelled Oz-Stelia or something like that. Anyways, in 40K, yeah. This is from RU's backyard. It is from news.com.au, and I'm just going to read it. I'm just going to read it straight. I'm going to read it straight through because it's not that long. And then we're going to go. Police sniffer dogs trained to detect child abuse material and digital terrorism are being used to crack down on a significant rise of online crime in Australia. Nearly two dozen technology detection dogs have been deployed by federal authorities to sniff out criminals' hidden mobile phones, USB drives, memory cards, and easily concealed SIM cards. This comes as reports of online child sexual exploitation to the AFP more than doubled over the past 2 years, with cases rising by more than 180% between 2018 and 2023. In 2019, the AFP scoured the world to find experts to train Australia's first ever fleet of tech detection dogs to help combat the issue after the government poured $5.7 million to recruit canines into its crackdown on child sexual abuse. The AFP Deputy Commissioner Lessa Gale said she was, quote, deeply concerned, unquote, about an increase in illegal online activities. Quote, the creation of child abuse material is a horrendous crime, unquote, she said. The victims in these images are children. They are being used as a commodity for the sexual gratification of others, including those who try to make money from the abuse, unquote. In 2021, an AFP detection dog helped police locate $70,000 in cash stashed inside a Brisbane business accused of running a money laundering syndicate. Team of AFP specialist technology detection dogs assisted in the arrest of an allied man in March after sniffing out a device which contained hundreds of images of child abuse material. Dozens of new Labrador pups have now been recruited in the AFP training program, according to federal police, with eight new dogs graduating as fully fledged canines in 2023. Okay.
I would like to point out there are fully fledged canines before. They're born that way.
Yep.
So first and foremost, the statements about the creation of abuse material being horrendous, of course, absolutely. The statements about bad people doing bad things, I have absolutely no disagreement with. You know, disembowel them with something blunt. I'm cut their head off with a spoon. I don't care. Or pocket knife, was that what, I think it was a pocket knife they used in the streets of Britain. To behead somebody a couple of years back.
Yeah.
I don't care, but how exactly does the dog know by smell what's stored on a flash drive?
It doesn't. It just knows you have a flash drive. No, wait a minute. It knows you have plastic. It's sniffing the scent of plastic. So they're going to false positive on anything made out of fucking plastic. I mean, they might be able to narrow it down to a specific type of plastic. I do know they have different smells.
Oh, God, I run 3D printers. I can never go to Australia. I'll just be mobbed by the dogs.
Yeah, because they're being trained to sniff this component of whatever the flash drive is made out of. So
plastic.
It's plastic, wire, something. So it's going to If you walk through with a laptop that has nothing on it, it's going to trigger on the laptop. You walk through with a pacemaker and it's, you know, sufficiently close enough to the top of your skin.
So here's, there's Madman being all rational about this. Here's the real thing that bothers me about this, because you're absolutely correct that it's just flagging on technology. Well, two things. One, this is eventually going to be animal cruelty because you've trained these dogs to alert on the most common things that nearly everyone's going to have on them at all times. These poor dogs are going to have, you know, nervous breakdowns because everyone around them has the thing. Because if they smell cell phone, right? Every single
they'll be the happiest
got.
Fucking dog on the planet. They're trained to be rewarded after they key on this stuff.
Yeah, but what happens when they stop getting rewarded because everyone around them has a cell phone and the dog's not on duty?
They'll stop triggering, and then you'll have a useless dog.
Mm.
They'll burn out, but they're not going to be like, oh, God, I'm so sad. No, they're just going to have a high burnout on dogs.
So, okay, that might be fair. What this is really saying is for this to work, they've got a dog that can just identify any time you've got probably a combination of plastics on you, right? Like you were saying, Madman. Fine. How do they know what's on it? They're going to search it. So what's going to happen is these dogs are going to alert on everyone because everyone has a cell phone except for Aryu.
Now you've got it, Morps.
So that's going to be their excuse to take them in the back, strip search them, take everything they have that possibly could store data on it, and just go through all of it.
Uh-huh. They're looking for wrong think.
Well, it's not even that. It's
they're looking for digital copies of books and shit that are illegal.
No, it's a Wimlaw.
It's a catch-all.
It's not even digital copies of whatever. It's a Wimlaw. It's the dog will alert on everyone. Therefore, they have probable cause on everyone to search through their shit.
Yep.
So it's the dog, and this sounds mean, but the dog's a noisemaker. The dog's going to be the flashing light that gives them the, oh, we've got the excuse to take you in the back and rummage through your drawers and, you know, oh, we're going to go through your stuff, and, oh, we found cash. Well, we're charging your cash with a crime. Not you, because you might defend yourself, but we're keeping your cash. And, we're going to start going through all your flash drives. And, look at that. You don't actually have any images we care about, but look at all these bank records. Well, gee, we'll just take a copy of that. And, oh, look at all this, you know, you got some design documents here that we might want. Yeah, we're going to take a copy of that. And, I mean, I just see this getting abused all to hell.
That's why you don't have your stuff logged in on your phone.
They got a law for that too, Madman.
You already are kind of overlooking something.
Go for it.
They don't need a Wimlaw. You're thinking like an American. Very, 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 very few places on this planet have a Fourth Amendment.
Oh, yeah, I'm totally conscious of the fact that at any point the cops could kick my front door down, rummage through my house without cause, just to find something. Now, they will find something. They will say it's bomb-making material, because it'll be chemicals under the sink to use to clean the kitchen bathrooms. I'll label that as bomb-making material, and then they can hit me with anything.
Now, in most Western societies, because our, despite how much we complain about our governments, they're among the least corrupt on the planet, if not the least corrupt on the planet. So this doesn't happen often, but he already doesn't have those protections that you're worried about.
Well, I still think it's...
So think twice about coming here for a vacation.
Oh, I'd do it for a vacation. I just wouldn't live there.
Well, because I'm just imagining, too. It's like, well, the dog alerted on your phone. You're going to have to unlock that phone for us.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And I wonder how good their court system is, because some dog alerts, we get those thrown out here. Because dogs can false alert.
Well, especially when you see the video of the cop prompting the dog to alert. So.
Yeah, and then got a question on, well, this guy was alerting on, You're calling this a child porn sniffing dog, and I quite obviously didn't have child porn since you didn't find any. You shouldn't be able to charge me with that weed you weren't looking for.
Well, that's the gag. That's the gag of the article. That's why I wanted to read the whole thing, because you have no idea how many jokes I was wanting to make throughout this whole thing. But there's a very important distinction. They never actually called them child's porn sniffing dogs. They called them tech sniffing dogs. They never actually said the dogs detect child porn. They said the dogs help detect child porn, but they always called them tech sniffing dogs. You notice that?
Unregulated tech.
They only said cell phones, flash drives, SIM cards, things like that. They didn't say that the dog knows what's on them. That's why I was making that joke at the beginning. The article is from the point of view of trying to stop, you know, child abuse horrible. Material, which, yeah. Of course, yeah, get rid of that shit. Nobody should have that. That's horrible because it's, well, what's the phrase? It's documentation of a crime. So, I mean, yeah, obviously, I'm all on board with stopping that. But this seems like I'm not sure what this accomplishes, truth be told, other than just giving the excuse the government more noisemakers to use as an excuse to search your stuff. Because everyone's going to have a fucking cell phone on them. Now, not everybody's going to be carrying USB drives anymore, but damn near everyone's going to have a cell phone.
Even if they don't have a cell phone, debit card? These guys will trigger on a debit card. They have chips in them now. They're made out of plastic. They have an electric strip. That's circuitry, and plastic.
I mean, possibly.
Said electric strip, I meant magnetic strip. So yeah, the dog can trigger on anything.
So they only cited two. You know, they cited one case where the dogs actually did something. They cited two cases, but the other case was. You know, the dog was sniffing out money, which, yeah, police dogs do, you know, the police do have dogs trained to sniff for certain things, like drugs. So, I'm not sure, you know, it's arguable how effective they are. But, well, I don't know enough about it to say whether they're truly effective or not. I know I see the videos online of people saying the drug dogs are used to, you know, kind of alert on command and give them the excuse to search people's stuff. But, you know, I don't know enough about it to be able to say that the drug dogs are actually, you know, how effective they really are, you know. But
that's paranoia. They're really good for short intervals because dogs have short attention spans. So you get, like, I think, on average, 2 hours worth of good work out of a dog before you have to swap him out if you're doing a checkpoint.
Okay. No, that's fine. I just, like I said, I honestly don't know enough about it. But the tech sniffing dog just seems like, I don't know.
Yeah, because it's not like you're training it to sniff for something illegal. A pot-sniffing dog, I have complete faith in, because they're sniffing cannabis, it's illegal. But this, here's a dog, it's going to sniff for completely legal products, and then we're going to search them. But you just might as well have, we're going to search your cell phone whenever you go through this checkpoint.
Yeah, I think that's what they're doing. I think that's what they're doing with just extra steps.
Yeah.
Like, so then they pass the fucking hate speech laws, whatever the fuck that is. So then they've got just carte blanche to check your shit for wrong thing constantly.
So
we all know where it's going. Just some of us are getting there quicker than the rest.
Oh, they'll eventually have a license on all technology. They'll eventually, I mean, it'll just be, oh, no, too much relies on this to just let any old person be able to run whatever code they want. Oh, no, if you're going to write code, you have to be licensed. That's where it goes, eventually. Oh, you want to create content? No, you can't do that without a license, so that we can validate. And anything you post has to be tied back to this license, so we know who said what. It's like, you have free speech, but you don't have anonymous speech. You can say whatever you want as long as we know who said it.
That way we can come jack you later.
So, you know, I mean, that's I do. I'm not sure of the time scale, but I honestly believe that we're going to have an event at some point where it'll be some big cyber attack online, a big loss of data, something, and you're going to see a government go in and require licensing to use the internet.
Yep.
And, I mean, you see a couple of states try, you hear people talk about online ID laws and things like that every once in a while, but
that happens, I'm gone.
Well, that's the thing.
I'm not playing that game.
I expect it to happen. I don't know when. I don't know what time scale, but I do expect at some point it will not, you know, you won't be able to just go online and post whatever you want. You'll have to present an ID and go through approved systems. You won't be able to run your own website without a license. I mean,
retinal scan just to make sure it's you and not logging in with someone else's credentials.
Eventually, stuff like that. I don't know that you'll do that, but, you know, probably more along the lines of hold up your cell phone, take a selfie, drink a verification can. But, you know.
Only if you allow it to happen. I don't think it's going to get that bad.
I think they'll try.
I don't think they'll try on the generic internet. I do see pushing for IDs for porn. I see that continuing. I actually see that gaining momentum in a lot of places.
I think you'll see pushes for IDs on things like gaming consoles and software development. Like, okay.
I see it on either of those.
Okay.
I could see it on social media as well. Like Facebook, Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I could see them pushing on that, but generic internet, I don't think so.
Software development, I could absolutely see them requiring a license for. You know why I say that? Because they require a license to be an architect. Eventually, somebody will put that together and say, oh, nope, you're building stuff online. If you don't build it correctly online, it's just as dangerous. You make systems that are easy to breach. So.
Yeah, but you don't have to be a licensed to be a carpenter, electrician, or in most places around here, a plumber.
So I thought some...
You can get a certificate saying you're a plumber, but you can still go through the apprentice program and avoid that.
Hmm. Well, maybe it'll be something more like a codes enforcement then, where you got to prove that you meet code. That's an interesting thought. Anyways, I basically the long point is the point I was making is I eventually see the government butting its nose into software development to try to cut down on vulnerable systems and malware. It'll happen. Maybe it won't be as I'm envisioning it, but I think it'll happen. Because that's a good point you make about carpenters and electricians, Madman, because yeah, if you're not licensed and bonded, fine, you can still work on a job, but before you sell the house to somebody, it still has to be inspected for code enforcement.
Yeah.
So, maybe something along those lines.
And I'm wrong on the electrician. Most of those are licensed. It's the carpenter and the plumbers.
Okay. Well, I fully admit I don't know enough about it to make a great argument on the trades, so I see them eventually trying to do something about it, you know what I mean? And it probably not going well.
Well, in our section of the world, I see issues simply on, one, First Amendment grounds, and two, every company on the planet every small business and almost anyone that knows how to code would fight that. How many billionaires have come out of just making up a new code? Or not even a new code, a crappy program and calling it Facebook. It's just some forums.
Well, that's the gag of it, is those people who got rich off doing it a few years back, they'd be the ones trying to do it to pull the ladder up behind them.
Yep, and there's so many more people that would be fighting to keep it down. The only time this happens is when people cease caring. Or when people aren't watching. And when it comes to the code and the internet, a lot of people are watching.
Well, my concern there is not so much people watching or caring, it's people understanding the minutia. So
that's why I'm thinking they'd be able to get it passed with the porn sites and with social media. But generic interneting would be a bit more difficult.
Well, Madman, I hope you're right, because your vision for the future sounds a little bit happier than mine. So I'd love to be wrong.
That's why we keep Madman around.
So, anyways, let's do this next article here. This is from NomadScrolls.com, but it was all over the place. In a shocking turn of events, several smartphone manufacturers, including industry giant Samsung, have taken a drastic step that left customers outraged. These companies have remotely disabled phones purchased through gray markets, effectively holding the user's data hostage until they buy new phones from official retailers. This unethical practice has raised questions about consumer rights, the role of governments, and the level of control that manufacturers can exert over devices. So this happened in Mexico. Essentially, there were a lot of phone companies complaining to the government that people weren't buying their phones from them. They were buying them on the black market for cheap, and they're probably stolen, and then just activating plans with them so they weren't making as much money. So Samsung used that as the excuse to go into all these identified phones that weren't bought through official channels and just disable them, like lock them out as though they were stolen.
But these weren't phones that were reported stolen. These are just phones that they didn't have registration for?
Phones that weren't bought through an official source in Mexico, yeah. Like the IMEI number was not through the database of, you know. So it's like they bought it on eBay. You know, you say a gray market. Okay, eBay is probably not a great example of a gray market, but it can be for some things. You know what I mean?
So yeah, it was pretty much they didn't scan the registration number at checkout.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
As someone who's spent way too much time in retail, I will let you know, sometimes the registers fail to pick those up. So you can be buying a gray market phone at a kiosk or T-Mobile in their building, it not register, and then the supervisor come over and flip a few keys and make the sale go through.
Oh,
because you can activate it later.
I misread the, when I was skimming earlier, I misread the next line. Many people in countries like Mexico often purchase gray market phones due to economic constraints. These devices are not stolen. So I misread this earlier and thought they said that many were thought they said they were stolen. Like they were, you know, but like stealing pallets of the things, not, you know what I mean?
Yeah. They're not even stolen. They're just, I'm thinking secondhand market phones or someone like me.
Originally intended for other regions.
Oh, that's even worse. So they're buying straight up legit phones at legit prices. They're just paying the Guam price instead of the Mexico price.
The article says they work perfectly well in their new homes, providing cost-effective alternatives to official store purchases. However, users of these gray market phones in Mexico started receiving alarming messages on their devices. These messages warned them that their devices would be disabled for not complying with Mexican regulations, and they were urged to buy approved devices. Such messages appeared on phones from various manufacturers, but Samsung was the most aggressive in its approach. Samsung's actions were particularly egregious. Not only did they send messages regarding non-compliance with Mexican regulations, they also remotely disabled users' phones, rendering them virtually useless. This move was far from the expected outcome. If a device truly posed safety risks, it should have been switched off completely. Instead, Samsung allowed the device to turn on, but denied users access to their data and applications. To justify their actions, Samsung cited battery voltage and charging safety as the reasons for disabling these devices. The fuck? They all charge off 5 volts! DC! The USB and plugs. It's a standard.
If it comes on at all, it's still going to have those same fucking charging issues.
They claim these devices were approved for correct charging and safe use within Mexico, which is far from the truth. In reality, Samsung uses the same battery voltages in all regions, and they were even they even stopped including chargers in the box, further undermining their own argument. That's what I'm saying. These things are all the same voltage. They're all the same charging systems. Okay, USB-C can ramp up some of them will use 9 volts off USB-C to charge faster. Fine. It's still a standard, guys. It doesn't fucking matter what voltage the power system is in Mexico, whether it's 120, 240, or phased or whatever, because they're going to have a little converter to convert it from whatever the fuck's coming out of the wall to 5 volt DC. Because it's USB. So Samsung's dubious explanation is an attempt to greenwash their actions by framing them as environmentally conscious decisions. The reality, however, is that they're using these claims to extract more money from customers. This is not about safety, it's about profit. So the Mexican government actually didn't like this. They're like, what you doing? So, they actually ordered Motorola and Samsung to cease the actions immediately and issue statements agreeing to cooperate. And these companies agreed to cooperate with the Mexican government to find a solution. So, I don't think these people's phones got turned back on.
Here's the solution. Turn the phone on.
Yeah, really. So, here's the problem I have with that. And I'm glad there was such a bad backlash against it. But, if they get away with doing it for regulatory reasons, how long before they start doing it of saying, oh, sorry, yeah, that device isn't supported anymore. Yeah, you're going to need to buy a new one. Because that was their answer to Mexican people when they said, what do I do when you just disable my phone? They said, go buy a new phone. So how long before they start doing it just because they wanted to, they got tired of Madman using the same phone for 5 years? I know that's not your record. I think that's your current one. Am I right? Am I wrong?
Oh, no, I currently have a newer one, but my record? Oh, God, my record's
you
forever.
Had that one little Android 2 phone for like 12 years.
Yeah, and before that, the
you
whole
were
reason
playing,
I...
The, you were playing Ingress on that thing poorly, but you were playing it.
Yeah, and the one that one replaced, the technology was literally no longer supported. I upgraded because they went digital.
They turned
on the
2G
back end.
Towers off.
That's yes, that's why the phone stopped working in some areas. There were still a couple 2G towers in town. It occasionally would work.
So, yeah, how long before they start just deciding to disable your phone because they, their profits are down and they decide you need a new, time for new phones. Everyone using 4-year-old phones, we're not supporting those anymore. Time for that old disable switch. I mean, I would assume consumer protection and various governments would be like, the fuck? You can't do that. But
the disable switch would be a problem, but not updating software.
Well, I mean, that's Apple's approach, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you have an old iPad or a first-gen iPad, good luck.
And with more and more people pushing go through our stores rather than just being able to buy software, I could see them pushing the whole software has to be compliant with this version of our OS. This version of our OS isn't going to be backported to phones older than this model. And force phasing out the straight brick, I don't believe that's going to be... very often.
Well, like I said, I you're right, but I don't like the implications that they can even do that, and because I could see them deciding it's time for people to buy new phones, let's break the old ones, you know what I mean?
And when I first heard it, I was thinking the government was getting into the whole cracking down on the gray market for tax reasons, and then the rest of the story was read. I know one big reason plans are so different through different countries. Our governments are getting cuts of those. And there are taxes on phones in some areas that aren't on phones in others.
Yeah. No, these were just phones that were gray market. So somebody was getting it half the cost because... it's like when remember Static was buying those blue phones that were really meant for China and just reflashing them and using them here for a little while.
No, but that sounds fun.
You don't remember those weird little Android phones he was using for a while?
But I don't look at people's phones. I really look at my phone.
Well, you looked at Balt's phone well enough to change the language to simplified Chinese or whatever it
was. And that is why you never asked me to get your phone for you. He learned a lesson. And then everyone else learned that same lesson. And for some reason, every phone I touch is passworded now.
I think I'm starting to narrow down my trust issues and where they come from.
All right, let's do this next one. It's along the same lines. Microsoft now wants you to take a poll before installing Google Chrome. They're getting desperate here. How long before they just start flat out blocking the blocking the website? Microsoft may be open to the idea of Windows customers trying Linux, but it surely does not want you to try Chrome or other browsers. Downloading the most popular browser using Microsoft Edge is already a nightmare filled with banners and stopgaps, and nothing seems to be stopping Microsoft from adding even more. Last week, we noticed an attempt to download Google Chrome using Microsoft Edge results in the latter opening its sidebar with a poll asking you to explain to Microsoft how you could dare try to download Google Chrome. Of course, the exact wording is more tame, but you get the idea. Now, besides dismissing several banners and a full-size ad injected into the Chrome webpage. I mean, that just reeks of desperation, doesn't it? Edge wants you to answer a questionnaire with the following options. Can you please take a minute and tell us why you're trying another browser? I can't search Google easily. I can't access Google Documents. I don't have my favorites or passwords. Too many ads or pop-ups. I don't like the news feed. It's too slow. Which, of course, you're sure every single one of these checks is going to bring up a box telling you why you're wrong. You know, my reason is not listed. Yeah, it's interesting to see Microsoft listing some of the most popular complaints, such as the newsfeed full of yellow press and often harmful and fake stories, or too many ads and pop-ups. You can turn off the newsfeed and forget about its existence, but pop-up banners will test your patience on the limit. Quote, try the Dolly image generator. Try another tab layout page. Try Bing instead of Bard. Download Edge on mobile. Enable shopping experience. Share your browsing data with us. Do not download Chrome. Enable Microsoft Rewards. Switch to Bing. Give us your firstborn and many more. The new feedback request seems the least offensive among other questionable practice Microsoft uses to make you stay with Edge. Besides, it seems the company is testing the poll, so not everyone will see it. If only Microsoft could admit some people just want to use Chrome. I don't even use Edge to download Chrome. I use a PowerShell tool. I've linked it on Dojo a couple of months back, that Chris Titus Power One Tool thing. It runs in PowerShell, and it's like Nite, but, you know, cleaner. So. But yeah, Microsoft's making you play it out, take a survey. Microsoft is making you take one of those uninstall surveys like the old school shovelware used to do. Like when you uninstalled it and it said, wait, tell us why. And it made
it's my computer and I want to run this on it.
It's like, well, it's your computer. Well, you know, of course, Microsoft's like, no, we respectfully disagree. It's your you paid for the computer, and you own the hardware, but it's actually our computer, and we're just letting you use it.
Oh, yeah, when they started saying, we're taking this much extra of your hard drive in case we have updates, I can believe that point of view.
Yeah. They really do think that way. They wouldn't say it that way, but I think they really do think in terms of we own these systems, we can do it. You know, we own the operating system, we can do what we want. So, you know, again, learn Linux. I know I'm being a bit hypocritical because I still have several Windows systems myself, but learn Linux, people.
Ideology I kind of hate. It's our system and you're just using it. No, I bought Windows. It's my Windows.
Actually, you bought a license to use Windows, and we own it. We're only letting you use it. Yeah. Yep.
And that's why you're burning in hell, and I'm going to be laughing at you the entire time. Use a remastered. Do not separate the product from the ability to use the product. That is what the fuck you're buying. I bought Windows.
Yeah, we know you think you bought a Windows license. You know, you bought, but you bought was a license, and we've decided that license needs ads and data collection, and we really need you using our browser so we can monitor your browsing habits and not let Google have that. So, yeah, we're just gonna need you to shut the fuck up and do what we say.
I mean, I'm not really storing this 38. Shell in your heart. It's just that's where it landed.
That escalated quickly. Any thoughts, are you?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Next up is from Torrent Freak. And this one is along even more along the lines of, yeah, no, you're gonna do this. Yeah, okay, so this is from Torrent Freak. In addition to preventing pirate IPTV services from being watched anywhere in the country, a new Italian law requires authorities to run educational anti-piracy awareness campaigns. Released this week, the first PSA uses a famous Italian footballer to inform the, quote, common man, unquote, that piracy has consequences. As things stand, he has absolutely no idea what he's doing. When Italy's pirate IPTV blocking system eventually gets off the ground, it's possible that hundreds of thousands of TVs, computers, mobile phones, and tablets will at some point return to a blank screen, a disappointing alternative to the pirated football streams usually on display. Given the scale of media coverage over the last few years, it's unlikely to surprise many that 25% of Italians addicted to piracy-configured devices, known locally as Pizzetto, as pirates begin to adapt, normality will return for some or even many users, but the determination of Italian authorities will ensure that piracy will be less straightforward and more stressful than it was before. Okay, so it's going to be like satellite hacking, where you had to know a guy and get the little card.
And originally, you just needed a really big dish in your backyard.
Well, that and a motor to turn it. Piracy Shield obviously won't be 100% perfect, but it won't be going away anytime soon either. However, the law supporting the blocking system isn't just about infuriating a quarter of the population. It seeks to enlighten, too. The law dictates that Italy's Ministry of Culture and Telecoms regulator, AGCOM, must collaborate with, quote, representative professional organizations, unquote, at the national level, top men at the national level to deliver public awareness campaigns. With a special focus on public service broadcasting channels, the PSAs are required to educate the Italian public, including teenagers and secondary schools, on the value of intellectual property and the damage caused by illicit IPTV services, streaming sites, and counterfeiting in general. This week, the first PSA was released into the wild. It features a common man watching a pirate football stream on a laptop whose enjoyment is abruptly curtailed by the on-screen message declaring him a bad, bad user. I'm not kidding. That's actually what the article says. So you're a bad person. For non-Italians and non-football fans, the guy giving us the impromptu home lecture is football legend Bobo Virelli, a Serie A player of the year and former striker with 123 goals in 190 games to his name. Still with the Pizzetto, don't help criminals kick piracy, Bobo says. Combat illegal streaming together with Bobo Veretti, you do it too, unquote, the viewers advised. Italy's Department for Information... Okay, it just goes on. Basically, the Italian government's going to sink money into making people, you know, making commercials trying to inform people why piracy is bad.
That's actually the only real way of fighting it. Has changed the culture around it.
Yeah, but they're not giving real explanations. They're just calling him a bad man. It's like, you're a bad man for doing that.
Mm-hmm.
They could explain why. Like, you're hurting...
large multinational companies?
It depends on who it is. If they have a state-owned center, then you're hurting tax revenue that would be going towards these projects. You're harming employment and preventing expansion of certain businesses. Technically stealing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the only real argument in my mind, is it's like, yeah, well, you're technically stealing. So, I don't know. I think it's funny that that's their approach, to just call you a bad person. You know, making a public spot, you're a bad person. It's like, okay.
That's the worst I get called this month. Who cares?
And that's one way it's possibly going to fail, is if you're told you're a bad person for everything, even things that aren't bad, being called a bad person doesn't work anymore. Like being called a racist in America now. I don't think a lot of people care.
Yeah. Yeah. And the whole COVID thing, you're going to kill Granny. I don't give a fuck.
So. Anyways. Although,
one issue I do have with the piracy argument now, businesses have the whole legit, you shouldn't copy our movie, but I also should own my copy of the movie. You have right to first sale, I have right to resale, and the whole doing away with physical media and me having the movie, yeah, fuck you.
That's the thing.
That does away with your argument of, you have property rights. If you're not going to respect my rights, why should I respect yours?
Well, see, that's the thing, though, right? It's like, it's, you know, okay, well, I have to respect the rights of the large multinational company, but every time I have to deal with them with any kind of a problem, it's, you know, an absolute nightmare. It's like, oh, you're stealing from the cable companies. Have you called the cable companies for any problem? Most people aren't going to be very sympathetic to that argument. You know, the content creator maybe, but all the companies in between that are an absolute nightmare to deal with. You know, every time you go to the movie theater, you know, what's movie theater tickets cost now? $20? And food in there is another 40?
20 movie tickets around here, $9 for a single movie, and then popcorn and Coke. It's like 25 for like one person.
It's not that cheap here. Because usually if I want to go to the movies by myself and get something to eat, it's a $50 affair. So.
And around here, I still do like the drive-in, even though the sound quality is not as good, because I get a double feature.
But my point being, you know, it's really hard to feel bad that you're cutting into the profits of companies that are absolute pains to deal with. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's an uphill argument they got. I'll give you that. Last story. This is from Ars Technica. University of Chicago researchers seek to poison AI art generators with nightshade. On Friday, a team of researchers at the University of Chicago released a research paper outlining nightshade, a data poisoning technique aimed at disrupting the training process for AI models, reports MIT Technology Review and VentureBeat. The goal is to help visual artists and publishers protect their work from being used to train generated AI synthesis models, such as Midjourney, DALL-E 3, and Stable Diffusion. The open-source, quote, poison pill, unquote, tool, as the University of Chicago's press department calls it, alters images in ways that are invisible to the human eye that can corrupt an AI model's training process. Many image synthesis models, with notable exceptions from those from Adobe and Getty Images, largely use datasets of images scraped from the web without the artist's permission, which includes copyrighted material. OpenAI licenses some of its DALL-E training images from Shutterstock. AI researchers' reliance on commandeered data scraped from the web, which is seen as ethically fraught by many, has also been in the key to the recent explosion in generative AI capability. It took an entire internet of images with annotations to captions, alt text, and metadata created by millions of people to create a data set with enough variety to create Stable Diffusion, for example. It would be impractical to hire people to annotate hundreds of millions of images from the standpoint of both cost and time. Those with access to existing large image databases, such as Getty and Shutterstock, are at an advantage when using licensed training data. So it goes on, but pretty much they've come up with a filter that just, it screws with it on the back end, but you wouldn't actually see any of the changes. And it basically poisons the AI art generator so that they can't generate the images in a way that's expected, pretty much. So they've got an example picture here showing the clean pot models where they haven't been screwed with, to where, like, okay, the first one's a picture of a dog, right? So you give it the prompt of a dog, and on the clean model, you get, it looks like it might be a husky. It's kind of a small picture. They've got 50 poisoned samples introduced, you get kind of a deformed-looking dog with a weird head. At 100 poisoned samples, you get what looks more like a cat with a stretched head. And then at 300 poison samples, you type in dog, and you get a cat. So they were able to come up with this way of screwing with images on the back end to where just the training data is wrong, basically. It's interesting. I'm not going to read the whole thing, mainly because we've only got a few minutes left. But if you're interested in this, it's probably a good white paper to look into. Because
that's a cool way for artists to protect their work if they they're putting it out as a sample and not for
it's open
whatever
source.
Other use.
It's open source. You can use it. So you can go into the link from the research paper because I think the code was in here. I looked at it earlier. Somewhere I saw the code. I could have sworn I saw the code. I can't find
it. Why
now.
They decided to make it look like a cat rather than just a jumbled, massive blob of nothing?
Because if it's wrong, you're not. If your image generator is just flat wrong, it'll never be useful. Whereas if it's creating a jumbled mess, they'll still keep trying to, it'll get better. Oh, it'll get better. So it's a way of trying to keep turn people off from using it. Rather than, they're not trying to discourage the researchers, they're trying to discourage the populace. You know, it's not a very useful tool if every time you say, create me an image of a lion roaring on a mountaintop, you get a goat falling off a hill. You know what I mean? So.
Yes, although now I want to get fainting goats again, but I always want fainting.
Anything on that, are you, before we do Dojo?
No, I'm pretty good. Yo!
Hadouken! All right, what I have for you tonight in Dojo is Flipper Extreme. So this is a new firmware, or new-ish, I'm not sure how old it actually is. New to me, firmware for the Flipper Zero. And I've played with a couple of different firmwares on mine. Admittedly, I haven't messed with it in 6-8 months, something like that. But this one's got the bad keyboard and Bluetooth low energy spam functions. It's got all the protocols, a whole bunch of asset packs and applications bundled in. So it's got this one thing called sub driving, which is similar to war driving, where instead of logging Wi-Fi, logging whenever it finds the low gigahertz radio signals that you can come back to later. So there's a lot of cool little things in here for, an unofficial firmware for the Flipper Zero, and you even got all these asset packs you can load into the thing. So that's really cool if you play with the Flipper Zero. Of course, the stock firmware, you try to do anything with it, it immediately is like, I'm sorry, I can't transmit on that frequency because it would be bad. Because they, got so much hate from companies saying you're screwing with our gas station signs and opening doors. So these unofficial firmwares re-enable all that functionality. So definitely worth exploring. I think it's cool. And I need to get mine back out and play with it because I haven't done anything with it in a while. I mean, I opened up some hotel room doors with it a year ago, but that's about the most interesting thing I've done with it. Well, I cloned some cards at work with it. And so I was able to, use it as an elevator key with my own credentials. So it proved that I could clone it, but it wasn't. That's not terribly interesting. So, anyways, that's all I got for you tonight. Of course, listen to the stream. We're always working on it. The Galaxy 15 Radio site, pure decking every Thursday. And the BBS is now up. So that's going to be the preferred way of sending us feedback and messages if you want to use that. Madman, closing thoughts.
I wonder how long before high-end hotels return to physical keys.
It'll be a novelty. I could eventually see people going back. I eventually suspect we'll start seeing court systems saying if it's not on paper or magnetic media, like analog media, that it doesn't count because digital is too easy to alter or fake. I wonder.
That's why contracts still have hard copies.
Yeah. So that you actually have a physical copy that can't be altered, at least not obviously. Are you closing thoughts?
Once again, man, it's been a really slow week, so I don't really have anything. There's no new movies, no new TV shows. Nothing's really been happening in the news. Yeah, it's a slow week.
All right.
That's it for me.
I'm going to play sound effects and close us out.
Thank you for your continuing patience during this transitional zombie apocalypse. Your satisfaction is very important to us.
Man, I'm sorry about this. I hope this doesn't ruin your day.
I have never been horny in my entire life.